Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as...
Such as Julianne Moore's character and Natalie Portman's character in May December. I'm sorry, I know those characters weren't supposed to be together, but to me, in my mind, there was energy and that was enough.
Oh, you know what?
Julianne Moore has energy with a wall. So like, yes, she's going to have energy with Natalie Portman. So
fair enough.
I love it.
What up, Cabroni?
What's up, Chingona? It's been a while. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah.
We've been living
Sorry
life.
Sorry about it.
We've been living life, dude. It's okay.
It's been a lot going on, right? Like, I mean, and it's not like we didn't try, right? We had ideas. We've had a lot of ideas that haven't come to fruition yet. Who, you know, maybe they'll come later on, but for now, today, we decided we're going to give you everything.
All at once.
All at once. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Oh, dude. Oh, I want to say that, like, my mom gave us a compliment. I wanted to tell you. She said that we reminded her of Pop Culture Happy Hour. And I was like, thanks, Mom. I appreciate that.
That's very cute. I love that she listens to that. What is that? Tell us all.
Yeah, what? It's like, shout out NPR, you know, not that they're going to listen to us, but shout out to Pop Culture Happy Hour on NPR. And she said that, like, our podcast reminded her of that one. And I was like, thanks, Mom. That's a compliment. Thank you. So
cute.
Yeah, very cute.
Nice.
Shout out to Mom, I guess.
Shout out to Mumsy.
Shout out to Mom. Dude, shout out to your shirt right now, Poderosas. What's up? Oh, dude, it's been interesting, that journey that you told us about over there on that podcast. I was listening in. That was wild.
Yeah, you heard our Palestine episode?
Yes, I sure did, of course. That was insane. I didn't know they would do that.
It's been a very heavy time, and it was very shocking, quite frankly. I will, like, link it or something. You guys should listen in. The gist of it is that just as everything went down with Palestine and Israel, there was a final game for ACFC, which you guys know I follow very diligently, and we were banned from showing our support, which is something that we do every single game.
Yep.
Because something's always happening, right? A shooting or pride or whatever it is, like, we're always speaking out. The title of the episode is called "The Way We Show Up in the Stands is the Way That We Show Up in the World."
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. We've flown the Palestine flag since day one of Angel City's existence. So the episode's really heavy. We went through a lot as a group, and we're still kind of going through it with this organization. They're still being quite awful to us, quite frankly. God. And we've yet to resolve things. So things are kind of up in the air. You know, people are canceling their season tickets. There's some real heavy Zionism at the top. And I mean, I don't know that we've ever talked about it on this podcast, but obviously we're very anti-Zionist and very pro-Palestine.
Always been loud about it, too. It's been years.
For real. Like, this is not something new. I remember talking about this in college, and I'm old. College was a long time ago. You know, about how this issue has always been about land and not religion.
Land, and oil, power, colonization.
Yeah,
literally everything except what they say it's about. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, well, let's get into it. Like, the first two things we want to highlight, which, like, today we're going to highlight a bunch of stuff that we just kind of didn't get around to talking about this year. But the first two things are... Mo, which is a series on Netflix, and Rami, one specific episode, which is on Hulu.
Yeah. No, Mo is, like, super interesting because it's a Houston-based comedy show that is not very, like, I mean, it's funny, but
it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
But it's also heavy. Heavy in innuendo, heavy in, like, in context. You know, it's, like, full and rich context. It feels like as real as you can get. You know what I mean? It feels like you were placed in this guy named Mo's life, and he's like the realest fucking dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they do not shy away from the refugee Palestinian experience and what it means to live in Houston. It feels, it's one of those things that we always talk about on the pod, where it's like the more unique and more honest to your story, the more you're actually bringing in people. It's I really liked what Mo did, what they're capable of doing, that everyone that worked on that series, because yeah, the more hyper specific you get, the more universal your a story you're telling. And I thought, wow. Yeah.
And a little special treat for us is that Palestinian, Mexican, or Latino, like, solidarity, that unification. Like, yeah, it's real. And I feel like it's not just with, like, Palestinians, right? It's with anybody. If your culture, like, if we fuck with you, we fuck with you. You know what I mean? Like, it's as simple as that. So, I mean, I love that show. I love that he's, like, he's constantly being mistaken for being a Latino. Yes. And like that gag of it all is really, really funny. It plays out really well. And then, you know, it ties in to his Palestinian like background, ties in with like the immigration like
experience and nightmare
experience in the south of Texas, of course. Like, it's intense. And like, yeah, it's like we have more similarities than we have differences. Like, at the end of the day, like, we need to like stand together, which is has been really interesting to see everyone in the world stand together recently, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see it everywhere. I'm glad that like most people outside of media is caught on to the realities of what is the truth and what is, you know, how we're being brainwashed in society and how we're being told what to believe. And I think it's really interesting, especially because we're a podcast that talks about media and, you know, we live in a world where we're being fed things, and it's up to us, all of us, to read between those lines and see what the truth is, because it's always somewhere in the middle, you know? So
yeah, go past the surface, which is like also like, if you look at this, I've only seen this one episode of Rami.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being honest, but if you look at this episode, it's like, it's supposed to be about him going on a fucking business trip, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of it, it's like all this other fucked up shit going on around him. And yeah, you want to talk a little bit about that episode? You're more familiar with the show than I am.
Yeah, Rami is a show about a child of Egyptian immigrants. He's growing up in New Jersey, and he starts going into the diamond jewelry business in New Jersey, and he makes a business trip to Israel. And he is a Muslim man in Israel, and he's kind of like living in what it means to be a brown person in a colonized place in Palestine, you know? And even the series, even for the show, the actors that were the Palestinian actors were real children that hadn't gotten visas before that episode. It was because of his like team and his company that he was able to get the kids to even do a visa, get a visa to go into Jerusalem to make that, to film that for the episode. So that was the first time those kids had gotten to see like the sea. That was the first time they got let out of prison, and basically an open air prison, you know, like they weren't allowed anywhere. And I thought that was really interesting and really kind of like when you really think about that episode and what the episode is telling you, you know, like these children are getting mass incarcerated, much like America mass incarcerates a certain population on this side. They're heavily militarized, very similar to some things that happen in America. And,
the investment in borders is intense.
The border shit, everything Rami does to go in and out of the borders, all the loops and like everything that he has to jump through just to get into the West Bank and out. But he wasn't really going there. Of course, he was going into Jerusalem, and it was anyways. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how someone could watch that one episode of Rami, or like literally I was thinking about another episode where Anthony Bourdain also goes to Palestine. And it's a very interesting, I don't know, your eyes open immediately in that episode where you're like, wait a minute, why are these people acting like everything is theirs? And why are these other people like, I'm confused. Why are there walls dividing grandmas from, like, are grandmas really scary? I'm confused, right? Like, why are we watching, like, active apartheid? And why is everyone just acting like it's okay? Like, and I think Anthony Bourdain asked that question without asking that question. He just shows you. And I think a lot about that episode when I'm watching Rami in Palestine, where he accidentally gets a kid incarcerated, basically God knows what else, for the rest of his life, because he did like a little misdemeanor crime on him, but now it's become like a life sentence. And that's just reminds me of America in every single way, in every aspect.
Yeah, not to mention, I think it was like slightly clever, but also like it's a hard thing I think to watch because of how serious the situation has gotten now. But
yeah,
or I mean, it's been serious, but how serious it is within like our psyche right now as Americans. But watching it now, I'm like, he shows the IDF as like, at the same time, this duality of like incredibly dangerous, awful people, but also like making fun of them in the way that they're like, oh yeah, be careful, make sure that you stick with us. They might try to throw a rock at you. Meanwhile, they're literally like arresting a child and like beating him and blindfolding him, and it's just like, you're such a fucking joke.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, like, what are you protecting?
And he's like, oh, New Jersey, you're from New Jersey? Oh, really? Yeah, the NYPD comes over here and trains us every year.
Yeah, like, that part. Oh
my God. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, so it's always interesting how comedy tackles these really serious topics. We've talked about this before, how comedy's always ahead of the curve on everything,
always,
right?
Always.
Watching those two things, Mo and Rami, that'll take you to the next level. Like, take a gander.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I recommend the rest of Rami, as it's like
just the one. I probably won't watch the rest of Rami. I have my reservations about that guy and that show.
Okay, Anthony Bourdain reservations, I see. But yeah, like, if you want a better one, maybe watch the Anthony Bourdain No Reservations
episode. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I might actually follow that advice.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I always recommend that for people that don't know anything, because I wasn't always up to date on everything, you know. I didn't always understand, you know, and I think that maybe we have to be open to educate. And I feel like that's kind of like the problem with people on our side, is that it's condescending on both sides. And I think we should be more open to like educating each other in a nicer way. I think, you know, like, hey, I know you're not where I am, but like, literally watch one video, watch one episode of Anthony Bourdain, and that's all you need, honestly. You're going to see walls dividing grandmas and kids. Like, it's just weird. It's really weird. And you don't need to like think about it too hard. And, people have been in my DMs because I've been posting about, you know, Palestine every day, you know, about free Palestine every day. And I'm just like, I don't care. I'm not here to argue with you. And you're clearly brainwashed, and I'm not going to be the one to undo it. If you can't do one Google search, God forbid, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, and also, but there are the homies out there who they genuinely don't know about this stuff. I actually like made a little like video from one of my friends who could not give a fuck about politics. Right.
Wow.
But obviously has like been like shown and inundated on social media about this, but doesn't understand it. So I just like pulled out a little dry erase marker and board, and I put the visuals up, and I was like, this is what's been happening. And he was like, holy shit, that was actually like weirdly helpful.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you can if people are curious, if people are not like defensive and awful about it, then talk to them. But I'm kind of in the same boat where I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and argue with somebody that is clearly like fucking racist, which is how I feel right now about certain people in the football world.
Oh, God. Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's like, if you're coming in the defense of people with giant guns against children with rocks, then I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. It's like,
exactly.
Oh, they're beheading children. I'm like, there's only one group which of side, people. Baby? Yeah, I'm like, which side? Because there's only one side I see that actually happening on, where it's actually substantiated. There's lots of evidence versus the bullshit that's coming from the other side that's made up. Like, you know, I'm not saying people have not been hurt, and, you know, RIP, rest in peace, and honor to all those people that have passed. You know, I'm not going to act like those people deserve it either. But I'm not going to act like you're completely innocent and like you should be there. Like, I just don't think you should be there at all, period. I think, you know, right. I think we can, I'm not anti-Semitic. There's not an anti-Semitic bone in my body. But like, you cannot say that Jewish people deserve a homeland at the expense of someone else. That just makes no sense to me. You can't bomb grandmas and then also claim that you're being oppressed. You're just not. It's just, you're not being oppressed.
And it's like, they're not trying to just live in this land. They're trying to destroy it for anyone else. Yep. And not have to live amongst other people. And that's
insane.
The definition of insane to me. Like, you're like, oh, like, you know, all of you guys have to either die or leave.
That is, makes no sense. I just,
what is wrong with you?
I can't. Yeah. Like, you push these humans so far that they have to go that far, and you're doing a terrible job.
And then you're like, wow, I can't believe you did that. Oh yeah, it's been 75 years.
Yeah. I come on, you've pushed these human beings to the brink of like their own insanity, their own everything, and you think I'm gonna side with you? Like, that's what the thing, like, another thing, like, there was this crazy TikTok thing about like comparing the Palestinian struggle, the struggle of colonization, to Hunger Games, and they're like, I don't know how these people can like sit up and ride for Hunger Games, they don't see it actively in the real world, that we're watching these people like Bassan and Motaz, like, on like Instagram Live telling us what's going on over there. And it's so clearly like the parallels between this fictional world and the reality is like, I can't, dude. It's so much. It's so heavy. Yeah. But y'all know where we stand. We've always stood on it. So, not new.
No, it's never new.
Never
so,
new.
Yeah. So if it wasn't clear, it's clear now.
Yeah.
Don't come. You can come and talk shit to me if you want. I'm not going to. I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah. Like, whatever. We're not anti-Semitic. Shout out to all the cool-ass Jewish people in the world. Like,
yeah. I mean, shout out to the amazing Jewish people who are like standing up for Palestine here in the States. Like, good on you.
Yeah. Shout out to them. They're on the front lines. They're doing what needs to be done. And I'm always going to ride for them because they know what's up. And, you know, no anti-Semitism on this side. Don't even dare call us the N-word over here. Like, we don't ride for that either. So if you think we are, we would actually beat up Nazis any day. Come for us. That's how we feel about them too. So
for real.
Don't try to, they are not the same. We just don't fuck with Zionists at all, ever. Fuck that. But shout out to, you know, shout out to everybody. I just hope everybody's good except for Zionists. Not y'all.
Right on. So for, yeah. Sorry.
You're good.
So for the rest of the episode, we're just kind of talk about a bunch of stuff. Like, I mean, a lot of stuff that we watched and enjoyed a lot. That we wanted to cover it, but we didn't get around to it, and we might go deeper later, but right now we're just gonna like be like, hey, you guys probably have a few days off, the fucking, you know, winter break is coming, you guys want to watch some stuff, here's some recommendations. That's the vibe of this episode.
Yeah, it's just like laid back stuff we want to catch up on with each other, basically. So
sort of, we do something similar to this on Patreon. Now we haven't in a while, sorry about that.
Yeah,
but this is kind of like what we do. And but except this time we were going to put a little more effort into it.
Yeah, I've been running around. So let's see how not scattered my brain is right now, I hope. But yeah, what do you want to start with? Do you want to start with like TV series? Because I have one favorite one that we haven't talked about.
Yeah, let's do it. TV. I mean, we can honestly go back and forth. Just like, let's see what happens. Let's just ride the wave.
Let's ride the wave. So, dude, I'm obsessed with Netflix's Everything Now. Like,
yeah. When I watched that, I was like, okay, fucking dream show of CYC circa 2018.
Yeah, circa 2018 is correct.
I loved it.
I thought it was amazing. It was one of the most interesting things I've seen. And to find out that Thandie Newton's daughter, is that the correct? I'm going to say daughter. Thandie Newton's daughter wrote this, made so much sense after I finished the series. Do you know who Thandi Newton is?
I don't know who that is. Please tell me.
She is a Bond girl. She's an amazing, super famous British actress. And that kind of parallels the character's mother in Everything Now. Is that Thandi Newton? It's Thandie Newton. She's been in a bunch of things, but sadly, the one that I think she's super famous for is Mission Impossible. not a Bond girl, excuse me, not a Bond girl, a Mission Impossible woman. So,
yeah.
Acting alongside Tom Cruise, I think that's like her most famous role. But she's been in, you know, TV series, Westworld. What else? I'm trying to think. She's an incredible actress. But Thandi Newton's daughter wrote this, and I think shout out to Nepo Babies when they know how to write. So she was my favorite Nepo baby this year. Like, shout out to Thandi Newton's daughter who wrote this. And
okay, Ripley Parker.
Yes, Ripley Parker. That is exactly. And then their other daughter, Thandi Newton's other daughter, was in another show that came out this year called and we didn't talk about it, The Last of Us.
Yeah, and now I think it might be too late. I think, like, isn't there a Zionist at the head?
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. But what did you think about Everything Now? It made me really happy to watch. It was very, like, this is clearly an adorable teen story, but also really fucked and really dark and deep and interesting.
Yeah, I love that it had all those layers to it. Quite frankly, I think it was really special. And also to see, I guess, that sort of situation put in these, like, modern times. Because we're getting older. We don't know what the kids be saying. You know, before, like, we would have reacted very differently as teens, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, my God, Instagram. So it was really interesting to see. It was also, like, getting to... Because there's such a situation in the middle of this, like, the biggest thing in this is this character, the main character, has anorexia, and yeah. Like, that's like the big thing. Then everything else is kind of nothing, right? Like,
yeah,
her sexuality, like,
small,
it's it, yeah, several characters are queer in the series, and it's just like no one really bats an eye at it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fun. I enjoyed that. And there's people of color galore, so
truly diverse.
And it was funny.
Yeah,
truly funny.
Actually really funny, truly diverse. Also, and you know, it treats being like gay and queer the way that we feel about it. I know, I feel like it was the most like on point to what it actually feels like to be a queer person, is that like it's just like naturally part of your life, and like the bigger issue is like the things that actually are issues.
Yeah, exactly. Like things that aren't like, yeah, like that you're going through, and mental health and all of that stuff. Because, you know, and we've talked about this before, I think previous episodes, but like gay people really mostly hang out with other gay people.
Yeah.
So that friend group made sense to me. Like there was a token straight couple, or like whatever is like straight side. Oh, I don't know what the term, the situationship.
Yes, situationship.
So yeah, it was realistic in that way too, even though like where's it based in, like England, Australia or some shit?
It has to be the UK, I believe. I want to say that, yeah. But
okay. It's just been a while. I just remember liking it a lot, but I really really liked it. I fucked with that show a lot. We should probably, maybe we'll do a full episode on it later. I think there's a lot to talk about. Maybe after the second season comes out, if it gets renewed. It did, right?
Yeah, I believe it did, but don't quote me on that.
Mo got renewed. Forgot to mention that earlier. Which one? Was so shocked to find out that Mo got renewed.
Thank God. Yes.
Was shocked to find that out. Yeah. But very exciting.
Yeah, because of everything. And we hadn't heard anything in a while, so I'm shocked. Yeah, to Mo getting
it's
renewed.
Been a long time.
Yeah, so Everything Now, I honestly, we got to do a real episode on it, but like so far I think I cried, like
yeah.
Cried.
It's been a while, so I can't remember, but I just remember binging it and being like, this is incredible. No notes, 10 out of 10, you know what? Yeah. I mean, like
I was absolutely stunned at the end. And then when I found out that was the Thandi Newton, Ripley writer, I believe, wrote it. Like, that just kind of blew my mind. It made so much sense with the character's mother and thinking about celebrity itself and how that, like, changes everything around it. I just thought that was so interesting. So I think that was, like, my favorite show of this year. And I think, no notes, nothing. I cried. Like, it was so therapeutic on so many levels for, like, you know, the queers that struggle. You know, it's real. It happens. Yeah.
And I mean, a very not a close second to that show, but very closely, I think, in vibes is Gen V.
Yes.
Right? Like, there are, like, also tons of queer people and tons of, like, people of color and, like, similar. Yeah, just similar in that way. Obviously, it's a completely different show. It kind of goes along the lines of The Boys. If you've seen The Boys, it's a spinoff. Gen V was a wild ride. I was watching it actually week to week.
Yes, me too. Dude, so if y'all haven't watched it, it's on Amazon Prime. It's kind of like a spinoff or even parallel show to The Boys. And it's based in a college for, you know, X-Men kids. Supes. I'll just call them X-Men. I don't know. In my mind, I call them X-Men. But, you know, for Supes. And it's
X-Men Academy.
Yes. Instead of X-Men Academy, it's they're at a university. And it's all very, like, tongue-in-cheek. But also, like, so casually queer and kind of gross. Don't watch it with your family members. Like, it's really gross. Like, I remember.
It's still The Boys related. Like, there's going to be dick.
Oh, God. Know? Every episode, unnecessarily. They just they think it's funny. I don't care. Like, it had enough of, it was of interest to the queers, and I thought those two characters were, that was interesting to me. I didn't see that coming immediately, but, you know.
Right. I think them taking, you know, like, non-binary to that level, and it's almost like having, like, a physical representation, and obviously they're not a monolith, like, non-binary people are not a monolith, but a physical representation to some non-binary people feel, to how they feel. Like, sometimes I'm a bit more masculine, sometimes a bit more feminine. And having that, like, needing both of those things and, like, each, like, version of them. I already forgot their name. But I forget everybody's name. Jordan?
Yeah. Jordan,
And, like, each one having a different kind of power. And, yeah, it was just interesting. To see how they worked with that character. I thought they did a really surprisingly great job. And I was really excited to, like, see them be the love interest too.
Yeah, like, it's, like you said, that they managed to find a way to express maybe even transness or maybe even non-binariness. And it's so cool and how, like, messy it is, because that's pretty honest to an experience, right? It's not, like, always great. It's not always bad, but you get both sides of this character. And I think that was just really interesting to that be a superpower. I think that's a really cool way. Like, shout out to the writers. Really cool way to, like, describe that to, like, regular folk.
To have this, like, physical representation of it was, I think, I wonder how many, like glass ceilings it broke. Or, like you know, in people's brain when you, like, shatter the glass and it's like, oh, I get it now. Like, that's what I imagine maybe happened to a few people who didn't. Who weren't, like, open-minded, I guess, to, like, the non-binary, like, gender or lack of gender, whatever it is. Yeah, because,
like, traditionally, their demographic is probably just, you know, like, boys. Like, dudes.
Yeah. I mean, Gen V definitely was like, let me grab the rest of these motherfuckers in the demographic, right? And it worked. It was good. It was a good show. I'm glad that they're going to do this thing where they go back and forth. It's an interesting show. It's always been very, like, blunt about its political critique.
Yeah, and they get away with so much because it's satire, you know. They really get away with a lot. I love it. We should probably, I don't know what we could put with it though. Like,
I mean, we'd probably put them together. No,
which one? What do you mean?
The Boys and Gen V.
Oh, you're right, it does have enough queerness in it that we could put them both together.
Yeah, but I'd like to. Yeah, I'd like to get another season in of Gen V and see how they fare.
Yeah, because they could always make it a lot worse. They could. There's a lot of ways they could mess it up. You know, like, right now it's okay.
I mean, the queer storyline and The Boys went to shit. So
exactly. So it's kind of like, well, let's see what they do with these characters. I feel like maybe they'll flesh them out better. Dude, do we even want to talk about The Last of Us? Since now we know that it's linked to Zionism, right? Like,
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, look, if you want to see a sweet version of Brokeback Mountain in zombie universe,
in a zombie universe, yeah.
Check it out. It was an interesting show to watch. Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine.
Just play the game. I don't know.
If you want to watch Pedro Pascal get his check every week.
You know what was interesting to watch was The Fall of the House of Usher, which I only remembered how to say that name because I have it written down in front of me. Because, like, let's be honest, everyone called it House of Usher. Everybody.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't remember the fall part. But, oh, my God, what a great series.
Yeah, I mean, this guy hasn't really missed. I will say that Bly Manor and Hill House are unmatched, right? If you guys don't know, those are they're related. They're The Haunting of Hill House, Bly Manor, and then the other one starts with an M. Then this is the fourth, like, last Netflix series that this same, like, showrunner is kind of doing, and they're all, like, you know, sort of horror. You know, there's usually a lot of death.
This one was just the interpretation of it just Edgar Allan Poe. There it goes.
Right.
Edgar
Allan Poe. It was heavy Edgar Allan Poe references there. So it was really good. Mm-hmm. Like, similar vibe to the last couple shows we're talking about, right? Very queer, very POC, very this, very that. Like, it's a new era, and there's loads to talk about all the time. Like, and it's not like nothing is revolution anymore in terms of representation. And now it's like, damn, do we go back to talking about the content? Cool.
Oh my God. I think since we started this pod, like, we haven't been able to do that. We've just been like, representation matters. And I think as Marvel started bringing in the women and the gays, we were just kind of like, representation is not the solution. We're like, down with Marvel, down
with
Disney.
Try quality now.
We've changed so much. We went from being representation only matters to being like,
I mean, it does matter. It does matter a lot, right? Like,
it does. It does.
But like I said, the representation of, like, what non-binary is in that last show, that's incredible, right? That's going to make a difference. Like,
it's rare. Yeah.
Right? So it's not like it's great. It's great. But, you know, the point is to keep progressing. So
yes, to keep progressing. And I mean, I feel like somewhat it's caught up to where we were maybe in 2018, like you said. I feel like everything's caught up to where we were in 2018.
Yeah. What we were, like, looking for, what we were desperate for. Yeah,
exactly. It's what we wanted.
It's starting to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. Long ago. And I don't know. I really like that series. I really loved The Fall of the House of Usher. The queerness in it, also very casual and very
it was definitely interesting. It was just like no one is one thing anymore, which is valid.
Yeah, that is valid. Like, shout out to whatever that was. I really like it because it's like, yeah, there's lots of people that don't need labels, and I love that. And I love that this show is like, queerness again is not at the forefront of any of this. Like, it's a part of the character and not like the whole character. Yeah, it's not a drag. It's just part of it. Yeah, it's a part of this full, very complete character, and I love it. So shout out to that as well. We never talked about EXO Kitty, did we?
I don't think so. I thought it was cute enough. That was definitely one of the shows where I stuck around just for the queer shit.
You could feel it coming. You're like, it's there, I know it is.
Yeah, and then it got real heavy real quick. I was like, dang. I will be tuning in again.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely a show that's not in our demographic. And again, it's EXO Kitty, it's on Netflix. It is not in our demographic. It's definitely like a teen YA novel.
Yeah, no, like, it's not for me. It's for the kissing booth girlies. It's for the to all the boys, but make it a little gay. Yeah,
just a little gay. Yeah,
it's just not for us. But I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's like, you know, 15-year-old Cynthia would have loved it. Like, I would have watched it at 15 and been like all about
it. Sure.
Yeah, all of that. But, you know, as Red adults, fan like, fix it's cute.
And the whole thing, yeah.
I would have read them. Yes, I would have definitely read some fanfics.
So the last show that's sort of on our list, I haven't watched. So this is all you.
Really?
Dead Ringers, yeah.
Dead Ringers. Oh, God. Dead Ringers. I mean, okay, I put it on this list because anything that Rachel Weisz does is gay to me forever. It's all canon in my head.
But isn't it actually a little bit?
Yes, it is actually queer. And also kind of like... horrible and terrible to watch, like, story-wise, but her acting is on fucking point, like,
as always,
perfection in acting, but also just like a weird, creepy, gross show, because birth is a gross process I never want to be part of. I shout out to all the people that give birth, like, gladly I am not part of that community, and you're all crazy warriors, and I just can't imagine doing that. So that's why I was like, oh, this is gross and painful and traumatic. So.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's about women giving birth and it's about, you know, twins doing evil shit. One person. It's very, like, tropey. It's based off, like, a 1980s movie of the same name. And it's kind of gross and what, like, it's very, like, a man definitely wrote this about twins, male twin doctors who, yeah, do horrible things to women together, you know? So it's just, let's switch that and make it about women, right? So it's not exactly, like, a perfect, what can I say, like, a, not a perfect remake, but nothing's perfect, but her acting is perfect. So five panduzas for Rachel Weisz's acting. That's it. She did
fair
amazing.
Fair enough. And that was that a miniseries, like a one-off?
This one, I believe, was also on Amazon Prime and a one-off because, again, it was like a series that was remade from a movie. And I never wanted to watch that movie, but, you know, whatever. Rachel Weisz being hot, acting really good. So that's enough for me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, moving on to, like, a few movies. And I'm actually kind of proud because I think... pretty much everything on the list is very, like, indie. Like, the new version of indie, right? It's still very well-funded, but indie in general.
One was more indie than the rest, I think.
Yeah? Oh,
No, you're right. You're right. There's but two in there that are just, like, super indie.
I feel like all of them. I feel
really?
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can't think of one.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Okay, yeah. Let's sorry for y'all. We're gonna go over the movies now. We know what we're talking about. We all don't. So you go ahead and go first.
Well, I'll just start with my favorite, which was Next Goal Wins. Made me cry loads. But that's football for me. I cry at a lot of games. Like
really?
Yeah. If somebody scores and you just see like, how much it means to that player, like it. Yeah, I don't know why. It's not everything. It's not every single game. But this particular one was beautiful because it highlighted, you know, a community. And, like, also there was a bit of a twist towards the end with this coach that comes in. And, and I sort of felt it coming, you know. So I was just like, God, it's going to get there and it's going to hurt.
Yeah. So, Next Goal Wins. I'm sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you could. I loved it, not just because it's about football. It's also just about, like, community, which those two things go hand in hand. That's something that I've realized this past year. Like, football is community. Community is political. And you can't separate the three. So, but look, from an outsider looking in, how did you feel about it?
I loved it from someone who, you know, soccer isn't, like, my favorite sport, but I definitely respect soccer players and the game, you know, football, because it's like the most universal game in the world for a reason, and it makes sense to me. Like, anywhere you go, people will play soccer with anything that's can be kicked, you know. So watching this small community of like misfits, it's just I love like misfit stories and
oddballs, feeling like one. And
yeah, and it's also like Taika, I don't know how I feel about you, but I know how I feel about this movie, and it's that, you know, this loveliness and belonging with a group of misfits and being able to do something just like that makes you happy. And God forbid, the whole movie just is feel good because it's not out to like change your mind by throwing things into your face. It's just like being honest about the reality of like these people, this community, and like what we can all just, you know, we can be a little bit nicer to each other. And
it's not like the end of the world
really does that. Yeah, like the movie just, yeah, it's just telling you to be nicer. Like, shit's hard out here for all of us. Let's just be a little nicer. And I say that around, you know, Christmas time. So, and I mean that. So we could all just stand to be a little bit nicer.
Yeah, to ourselves and to each other, quite frankly. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. One of the characters and slash one of the soccer players is a trans woman. And that storyline I thought was like really wonderfully done. Mm-hmm. Because this whole movie is based on a true story, obviously. Yes. Things are exaggerated for humor and other and dramatic purposes, but the gist of it is real. And yeah, there really was a trans woman on this like international football team, national team. And yeah, it's quite beautiful how they feel in general about transness in that country. Yeah. And in that culture. And I once again, just beautifully done, because the realest shit is like the best shit.
Yeah, they didn't, like, I mean, it was just so normal. And again, it's based in America, Samoa. Not to be confused with Samoa. Regular Samoa.
With, then, yeah, there's a few different...
There's beef.
There's lots of beef, lots of Pacific Islander, like, situations, yeah.
It's hilarious and such a feel-good movie, and I hope to watch it with my family as well. No notes. I love that movie. I cried as well. Like it's a good, healthy, happy cry though. It's like, oh wow, I could feel something today. This is nice.
Yeah. And I mean, full disclosure, I watched this when it was in theater for its short run. Don't yes. know when, where, or how it will be available, but if you can watch it, do, you know.
Yes, please do. I also saw it in theater. I got lucky enough. Shout out AMC.
Yeah.
A-list.
AMC A-list is the shit. That's the reason I watched any of this.
I love it. That's how I watch everything so far in movies right now. And this is not in like a sponsored ad. Just go fucking do it.
AMC A-List does not do any ads. We do it for them.
Yeah, all of us do the ads for them. Like, honestly, go do it. Just do it. It's worth it. I can't.
If you like movies, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of AMC A-List, quite frankly, like, I coerced my roommate into getting it. And one of the first things that we did was drive all, and this is only going to be relevant to people who live around here, but we drove all the way to fucking Burbank to go watch this movie because it was the only one that was, the only theater that was playing it.
Dang.
But shout out to Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe. Longest name ever. Cute little indie movie. Also had a very short run in theaters, and you also caught it.
Yes, I did. I allegedly was sick that day, and I went to the movie theater because they... No, I actually was really sick. I had a fever. Yeah. And I wore a mask and, like, yeah, it was stupid. But nobody was there, at least. So, but Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe is also a book. An extremely, like, I got put onto that book by our listener, Vicky. Thank you so much. I read it, like, audiobook, like, years ago during the pandemic. I read it. I think... Hands down, this is like what I wish Call You But By Your Name was, you know, like the best like book to movie adaptation. Also, the story is just better and the
they improved, no, from what I hear.
Yeah,
like,
I would.
The movie was better.
The movie is better than the. Well, I don't know. I kind of.
I feel like they just added things that really helped.
Yes, like a lot of the visuals. I thought it was interesting. I thought the story actually, I'm telling you, it was probably, I cried maybe 3 times during this movie. And in the book, you know, I had to like put it down a couple times because I was just like, oh no, this is too real to my like, my little story. So I had to put the book down like for a long time. But the movie itself is so sweet and soft. And I don't know, like it's just absolutely everything I could have wanted for like a film screen adaptation. I mean, a book to film adaptation. It was amazing. We got to do an episode with your roommate on it. I 100% agree because I cried like 3 times. It was, what did you think about it?
Honestly, shout out to like Eugenio Derbez and Eva Longoria for jumping in on this. You know, they're pretty big names. Not that they're like fucking super active right now, right? Like they have stuff going on. But they came in for this like little queer El Paso based like lovely little story. And it was so well done. Like when I went, I swear to you, I was basically dragged over there to fucking Burbank. And like, and when I saw this movie, I was like,
so glad. So glad you did it.
That was like such quality. Like one, how is nobody talking about this? And two, I know it wasn't being marketed because of SAG, like the strike. But damn, that is bad timing because it's such a good movie. It's one of those movies that they used to make before, like people only started caring about commercial shit and making big bucks. Like it's a good indie.
It has the feel perfectly of like the 80s, and you're right, like it does feel like it was made like maybe 15 years ago, like, and not that it was, but I'm saying like in the way that indies were made, in the way that
there was just investment in those kind of little stories.
Yes, and it's like, oh my god, I can't. I want to watch it again. I'm probably going to watch it again tonight. I will pay to watch it. They can take my money. It's so worth it. I think it's worth your money as well. Anyone listening, go watch. And it's,
you know, I think it's available, right?
Yeah, you can rent it on Amazon Prime right now. I think it's like $5. It's totally worth your $5. And it's pretty family friendly, I would say, because it's appropriate to the age range they're in, I would say as well.
PG-13. Nothing, I would say PG-13.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, PG-13. Watch it with everyone. I don't know, if as long as they're not homophobic, right? But it was so good. So good, dude. I want to gush on it more in depth at some point.
Yeah.
Because I read the book and I had to put it down and I cried like 3 times. It was a lot. And shout out to our listener, Vicky, for putting me onto this story. Anyways, it's just good. It's so good. Let's do Eileen.
Okay.
Eileen was also a book by Otessa Moshig. She wrote My Year of Rest and Relaxation. And then I knew about Eileen because I follow Anne Hathaway because I'm in love. But I didn't know, like, I saw her reading the book, but I tried to read My Year of Rest and Relaxation. It just like wasn't for me. So I wasn't really sold on reading Eileen, even though Anne Hathaway is literally beautiful. I wasn't sold on reading it yet. And then I just like went ahead and watched it because I read the Letterboxd reviews.
You're like, Anne Hathaway, sexy, gay.
Like, yeah, like... They're like, Carol, if she was like mentally ill, like, and I was just like, it was like, I like women's rights, but I love women's wrongs. And I was like, okay, I'm there. I'm sold. I'm going to watch this. What did you think of it? I know you recently saw it.
Yeah. I thought it was like, it was solid, right? Like, don't go into it expecting a fucking lesbian rom-com. Carol. That's not what it is.
Not Carol.
Not even a little bit, right?
No.
It's another thing where, strangely enough, basically queerness is just like a side note. Yes. It's just kind of like a little, it's a moment, and it's it's an intrigue that causes other things to unfold. But it was a weird movie. It was probably the weirdest of the movies that we're going to talk about, and that's saying something because theater camp is kind of, you know what I mean? But it was a short watch, which I was happy about.
Yes, 1 hour and 30 minutes. Lovely. Love it. More people should do that. I'm tired of 3-hour movies.
For sure. Ugh.
Flowers of the Killing Moon. Too long. Too long.
Of the Killing Moon. Love that. What did you think?
I loved it, but I know, I'm going to love it. Yeah. I know a lot of people, it was kind of like a love or hate kind of situation because of... It's really not what you thought you were watching.
No, it's odd.
I knew ahead of time because I love a spoiler. Like, I, I don't even care like how the plot actually is gonna get there. I love the journey, right? Like maybe it's all the friends we made on the way, you know, like that's my favorite part of a movie, you know. So I thought that, okay, controversial hot take, I thought these two would have been better casted as Carol. It's just my opinion. If they would have put these two instead of Kate Blanchett and Rooney Mara, I would have been like,
it's like they could have pulled off Carol, but Kate Blanchett and Rooney Mara could not have pulled off Eileen.
Thank you. Yes. Say that again. Two times for the two times.
I can't. It's too hard to say. I had to focus.
Yeah. Rooney Mara is not. Yeah, I know. Rooney Mara, she's a great actress, but I don't think she's better than Thomasin McKenzie. I think
Rooney Mara is a great actress, though.
I know. I do. But like what Thomasin McKenzie. Maybe not in that role. Yeah, not in that role. She serves so much and everything else. But I think Thomasin McKenzie is just, she's so perfect at, like, I really felt everything her character felt. And it was so written on her face.
Yeah.
Everything was so, like, she, the talk innocence. About face.
Yeah.
Yeah, innocence, but face acting. Like, Anne Hathaway is being, like, just hot, right? Yeah. Chaotic and hot and fucked up. And Thomasin McKenzie's character, Eileen, is also being, like, just kind of, like, mousy and scary, but also creepy and weird, but also just, like, absolutely obsessed with Anne Hathaway, which, I mean, I spiritually felt like I would have done most of the stupid things that this character would have done, except I'm no spoilers. I just would have left. When that moment came, I would have been like, you know what? I have an appointment with anyone outside of this door. I'll see you never, bitch. Like, that's where she had me all the way fucked up. But I'm no spoilers because that is the most fun, not knowing what's going to happen in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only difference I would have made. But everything else she did, totally on point with the way I would have behaved if Anne Hathaway was like even breathing near me. Like I too would have fallen all over myself just to like stand next to her, near her. If she even looked at me one time, like she looked at that character. So I get it. I get it, Eileen. But I really liked it. I just thought it was like, you know, I like women's rights, but I love women's wrongs. And then,
love
like
women's wrongs. Speaking of women's wrongs,
yeah.
There's another movie that we really want to talk about earlier this year called Joyride.
Ah, yes, the wrongs.
Oh my god, what a chaotic little, like, speaking of chaos, this one was chaotic in more of a funny way than like a weird,
quirky, violent, scary way.
Right. This was like. Like the like
happy
alternate universe Eileen. but with a lot more people. I really liked this movie. I thought it was I thought it was funny. I think there was a lot of other movies that I thought were a lot more funny this year.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was a joyful ride, you know?
Yeah, good job there. Good job there. That's perfect. I caught that one for once. I'm rather slow, so if I get your jokes when I'm listening to them like on repeat, and I'm just like, why don't I get things immediately? I feel so bad.
Stop, you got that one so fast, it's fine.
I know, for once. But also oh dude, this movie is, it's a blast. It's also silly, goofy, funny, carefree, light.
Like, yeah, they definitely were doing a lot of like the shock comedy, like the sex comedy, all that kind of, you know what I mean? They were doing all kinds of stuff, comedy, the K-pop star comedy, like it's just fun, right? It's one of the, like, I went into this one, or I should have gone into this one the same way that I went into this, the latest Captain Marvel movie or whatever, like just go have some fun, like don't take it so goddamn seriously.
It's not
serious. Just enjoy it a little bit, like fucking A, it doesn't have to be like Endgame, like it's just a movie and it's fun.
Yeah, like it doesn't need to be Carol. It doesn't need to be the next Bottoms. I mean, it's like Bottoms, like you just go in,
it's yeah
Bottom and you spot. Just you're just there for the ride. You're just like, you know what? You just it's give yourself name. To it.
It's in the name.
Joyride.
Like, it was, yeah. I guess this is my way of coming out as a. I liked that last Marvel movie. What was it even called? I forgot. The Marvels.
It's called The Marvels.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was good too. Thank you.
It was fun.
Thank
you. Fuck. It's like, I'm just so tired of like these people who are like, oh, I expected more. It was boring. Shut up. It was fun.
Yeah. It was a good, fun time. Like, silly, goofy fun. I don't care. It's just like women doing cool stuff. Like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And it was launching off so many, like, potential cool things from the Marvel comics that, like, if they go there, I hope they go there.
They said they would be going there, so I'm really hoping they do, but also, you know, fuck Disney.
Shout out Young Avengers. All right, cool.
It's enough about those billionaires there.
Fuck them, but also...
Fuck them.
This Marvel was really good. Okay.
Yeah, like, she was the star of that whole movie. I loved it. It was so good.
Okay. Anyways, Joyride was really great. It's hard to say, like, a whole bunch about it, but I thought it was wonderful. There's a lot of heart in it, too.
Yes.
And obviously we love Stephanie Hsu on this podcast.
Oh,
love
my her. God, yes. Fan club. Number one fan club.
Number one. And then also, I forget the name of like the non-binary character in that, but they're hilarious and I absolutely adore them.
Yeah, they're amazing. And we really mean it, even though we don't remember their name at this moment. Because
It's been like 6 months. Like, yeah, we've been trying to talk about
this. I had COVID again. I've had it twice at this point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, I just got over COVID. like, I, you know, like, my brain's a little fried right now. So, like, sorry. Second time getting sick that I know of.
Yeah.
Y'all stay safe out here. Mask up again because it is out here. I tested positive, y'all. It's real. anyways, there's
one
more.
The point is that we really like them.
Yeah. We've been living life and... That's part of it. Like, so we apologize, y'all, but we'll have more stuff coming for y'all. Like, we're getting back into it.
Like,
we will.
Yeah. It's been a fun year. Obviously there's so much terrible things in the background. But this has been an interesting year. I feel like, you know, in the book of my life, that's a big ass chapter.
Yeah, like our mental health is doing a lot better. I would say mine is. I guess I shouldn't speak for yours, but mine, yeah, it's gotten a lot better. Yeah,
I'm coming on a year of sobriety.
Fuck yes, dude!
In a couple of weeks, so I'm gonna have a beer to celebrate.
Fuck yeah, dude! How does it feel? Do you feel any different?
Yeah, I mean, I feel really good. I'm definitely like physically, I feel great. I feel so, not just because of that, right? Like, I've incorporated a lot of working out and eating well. But I just know myself. If I had been drinking this whole year, I wouldn't have been able to do half the things that I've done this year.
Yeah, and, like, it gives you back your time in your life and your hobbies and so much.
Exactly.
Dude,
exactly.
I saw your muscle, dude. You flexed earlier. Like, it's there. Yeah, no, dude, I see it. Yeah, no, it's
you have
it's
no idea.
There.
I work out so much. Like, it's ridiculous.
I see it, dude. I see it. Yeah, like, I think the most I've taken off this year is, like, the last 3 weeks because of, like, work. And then I got sick for 2 weeks. So, like...
Yeah, no, so being sick will take you out. I had like, a good week of bronchitis, and I didn't leave my room. You know what I mean?
Oh God, yeah. No, like, and you can't go back in there. And even if you feel better, you're just like, yeah, I'm still like congested and phlegmy and gross. Like, I'm not trying to get anyone else sick. And we're in our gym rat buff era right now. We're getting buff. Mm-hmm. We're getting buff, dude.
Dude, if you catch me this summer,
mm-hmm. Buff, man, swole.
You're gonna muscles. Be like, who is that?
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, bro, pick me up with your one arm, like. One arm it, dude. Just one arm me. Like, yeah. Dude, you're your buff era. I see you.
Yeah, it's exciting to think that all of this started because I wanted to play soccer again.
Really?
That's all I really want. I want to play soccer again.
That's so cool. Yeah, I just want to, like, not be injured anymore. And, like, when I've been down, I can come back up. You know? Like,
yeah. No, exactly. Exactly.
This bulge disc in my spine is a bitch. So that's why I'm like, no, I definitely, you know, this bulge disc got hands. And
So you have to also have hands.
I have to prepare to fight it. So that's what it's all about.
Right.
But yeah, oh, there is one more thing I did want to mention, like special mention to Cassandro, which is a super indie movie about El Paso again. Shout out to El Paso again.
García Bernal.
Yes, García Bernal. And then Bad Bunny's randomly in it, which was kind of like...
Shout out to the breakup.
Shout out to the fake relationship, fake breaking up. We love to see it. Even though Bad Bunny was hanging out with everyone's dad, Pedro Pascal, and we'll make of that what you want to make of that. And that's all I'll say about that. That's not at all gay. Okay, to my bisexual kings. Anyways, about that. But Cassandra's really good. It's about a, it's like a biopic about, you know, a queer
wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, right? I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it yet? It's good, but like at the very end, the plot kind of like, it just like kind of stopped for me. And I was like, ah, we're leaving something out here, but I'm going to just go with it. It's based on a real life,
real life wrestler biopic,
and Vice did a special on this wrestler long ago. I think Eddie Wang went out there and like to El Paso, and maybe that was like, I don't know, I feel like there was a Vice series on a Vice little story on Cassandro a long time ago, because I feel like I've always kind of known about Cassandro, so, and I've never been super into wrestling, and I always knew about this character, so it might be a Texas thing. But y'all should check it out. It's definitely worth your money, because it's, you know, based on his real life, and this motherfucker is a badass. And
I thought it was like on Amazon Prime for freezies, but I guess I'm wrong.
It could be at this point. I paid to watch it, but I would also, I would say everyone should pay to watch it. You know, I think it's worth watching. It is interesting, and there's a lot of parallels between this character and I think Juanga, honestly.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to watch it, because I was like, okay, child of a sex worker. Like, this is all very interesting to me. You know, I assume she's a sex worker. But, like, the parallels between him and Juanga, I think, are just, like, the presentation, the outfits, different, you know, medias that they're in, different like entertainment segments, sections of the world, but like what they're doing is like kind of both art for both of them. I don't know, I really liked it. It was good. It was strange at the end, but it was good.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's quite a bit. That's a lot of stuff to make up for the last few months, and gives you an idea of the episodes that we kept planning and failing to do.
Yeah, but yeah,
let us know what you think. There's definitely some that we personally want to go deeper into and do fuller episodes on.
Yes,
but if you yourself feel very passionate and want to reach out to us and be like, hey, elaborate on this, then we'll take it into consideration.
Yeah, we might even do like a Patreon on it. I mean, I do want to talk about, I haven't seen Nimona yet. I do want to see Nimona. I do want to see they clone Tyrone. There's a Fry Bread and Me. Like, there's so much out right now that I need to catch up on. And
right, there's loads. Just
life, you know, and you know, happy holidays to everyone who celebrates things. And if you don't, shout out to that. I hope you get a day off work.
For sure.
Happy December to everybody. You know.
Yeah. Have fun, and I'll see y'all over there in Texas soon.
Fuck yeah! Bring your set. Or no, it's a lot of stuff you have to bring.
Yeah, I probably won't bring anything, but yeah, I mean, let's hit the gym or something.
Maybe we can do like an in-person Patreon where we go watch a movie and then we come chat about it.
Ooh, that's a concept. There's definitely, yeah, let's, we'll chat about it. We'll see what we can come up with. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your patience. Thank you to every single Patreon donator. Like, we're going to come at you soon. I swear on it. Now that I said it out loud, like, I have to do it. But we do miss you. Hit us up whenever, DM us whenever. You know, I'm at Might the Panda, MYTE Panda. I guess probably some Zionists will send some hate there. So, hey, what's up?
What's up?
yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, come do it. Yeah, come send some hate at Fry Papita
on Twitter. CYC Podcast,
or Twitter X, whatever. I don't know the world.
I'm not calling it X.
I refuse. Twitter. And if you feel moved, then move, bitch. Get out the way. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. Anyways, love y'all. Bye. Thank you so much. Bye.